church, and Liberia is one of the places that we have built several churches in. I think four churches at this point. We're working on two schools there, and we're just thankful the Lord has helped us to do all of these wonderful things. And Brother Stewart is in the process of retiring. He's been there for 40 years, brother? 31, 32 years, and he has done an incredible work in Liberia. But Brother Benda, who's also ministered to us, is now the superintendent there, and just a wonderful work. Deborah Mitchell is with us. Where is Deborah Mitchell? Just a little wave of the hand. We have her right there hiding in the background. God bless you, Deborah. Thank you for being with us. Lord, love you in Jesus' name. And any others that are here tonight that are a guest, welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. And we're going to get into the Word here in just a moment. One more announcement. Kids ages 9 to 12, camp's money is due this coming Sunday. So if you have a child from the age of 9 to 12 and they are going to one of our camps, these monies are due this coming Sunday. And also, this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And wouldn't it be awesome if we could have another 30 people get the Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday? That would be absolutely awesome. So the only way that's going to happen, you know what the Lord says? He says, if you want me to fill the vessel, you have to bring empty vessels. So we can't have 30 people get the Holy Ghost if there's not 30 people sitting on our pews that need the Holy Ghost. Amen? So we have to invite and encourage our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends. And, hey, bring a few enemies. No telling what God will do for them. And they'll come in your enemy and leave your friend. Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen. Praise God. Book of Matthew, chapter number 17, verse number 14. Month of May. Month of May is our month of power in fasting. And I believe and know with an assurity that the results that we have seen these last two Sundays has come from this church in fasting and prayer and believing God for mighty moves of His Spirit. So we're going to be teaching on that here this afternoon, power in fasting. How many of y'all enjoying fasting? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. I didn't think I'd get much of a response on that one. Matthew 17 and 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him, could not cast out the devil of my son. Verse number 17, then Jesus answered and said, now in verse 17, he is not speaking to his disciples. He is speaking to the people. And he says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? What you have to understand is that up to this point, there was not a devil the disciples could not cast out. Earlier, the Lord gave them the power, and he said, go out, cure every illness, cast out devils, and minister to the people. And the disciples, not only the 12, but the 70 as well, had gone out and they were doing this. And if you'll remember in the scripture, the Bible says at one point that they ran back to Jesus and they were excited. And they said, Lord, even the devils are submitted unto us when we speak in your name. And that's when the Lord said, don't be excited because you cast out devils. He said, you need to be excited because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so up to this point, the disciples have been casting out devils, been healing the sick. And so they were a little confused here. When Jesus had separated from the crowd and when he was by himself, they came to him and they said, Lord, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Verse number 21 pulls it all together. The Lord said, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So the Lord says, I have given you the power. However, you are receiving a revelation. And that revelation is, even though my power at that time with you, with us, in us, even though my power is upon you, the revelation is that it's going to take prayer and fasting to be able to use it appropriately and have power over all the power of the enemy. So just because we have the Holy Ghost doesn't mean we can walk out of this building and take on every devil in West Palm Beach. Friend, it's going to come through discipline. It's going to come through fasting. It's going to come through prayer and revelation as we learn how to use this power that God has given us. Because I'm here to tell you, the weakness is not God. The weakness is me and you. And so it's us that we have to get under control. It is us that has to become disciplined, and it is us that have to receive the proper instructions and revelation on how to apply this great power that we have. I'm telling you that in this building right now, this little Wednesday night crowd, we have the ability to cast out every devil in the county of West Palm Beach. If we will fast and pray and bring our flesh into subjection and truly get in connection with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you anoint my mind. Oh God, help me to lay aside flesh today. Lord, don't let it be what I think or what I want to say, but let it be what thus saith the word of God. Speak into our hearts today. That is our desire. Oh God, that each and every one of us would leave from this place here this evening with a greater revelation of the power that dwells in us and a greater revelation of the power of fasting and what fasting and prayer will do in our lives. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Let's put our Bibles down. Let's send up a praise to the King. Somebody praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. We love you tonight, Jesus. We thank you for all that you have done, oh God. We want to be used of you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We humble ourselves before you, Jesus. We cast ourselves at your feet, oh God. We yield our bodies to you, Lord. Use us as your vessels, Lord. Jesus, in your mighty name. Turn to someone and say, I want to be used of God. Praise God. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we're going to try to touch just a little bit on this, what would seem to be an inexhaustible subject, and that is power in fasting. In January, we had power in prayer. In February, power in the Word of God. In March, power in giving. In April, power in commitment. Now in May, power in fasting. Learning how to discipline, how to humble our flesh, bring our flesh into subjection of the Spirit of God, that He can have His divine way in our life at any moment. Do you know that the Word of God says that there are some saints? I'm not talking about ain'ts. I'm not talking about sinners or people out there who are not living for God. I'm talking about Jesus' name, baptized, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking. The Bible says that there are some saints of God that the devil can use at his will. He knows just what button to push in your life. He knows just who to get in your face. He knows just what to call somebody to say or something to happen to stir up your flesh. And then the devil can step in and he'll make you say something that'll hurt somebody. He'll make you do something that you'll regret later. That's what the Word of God says, that there are some people that are actually used by the devil at the devil's will. I want to be known as somebody who can be used by God at the will of God. I want to have my flesh in subjection to the Holy Ghost, that no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what's going on around me, the Holy Ghost can move in me and say, Daniel, I need you right now to stop your car and get out and go in that convenience store. There's somebody in there I want to minister to. I'm here to tell you, if we will submit our flesh, we can get in a place with God that He can use us anywhere at any time. Come on, somebody. You know, we all want to be used in the power of the resurrection. But none of us want to experience the fellowship of His suffering. But Paul the Apostle had a revelation. You see, through the years of teaching and preaching and being used of God and seeing miracles take place and scriptures he talks about being in hungers and fastings and torments and tribulations and being outcast on the sea. We know the stories of Paul the Apostle and everything that he went through. But Paul had a desire. That was a desire to know God in the power of His resurrection. If you can know God in the power of His resurrection, then you can do anything in the power of God, in the kingdom of God. But Paul understood, if I'm going to have the power of His resurrection, then I am going to have to be able to fellowship with Him in His suffering. Paul had a revelation. The flesh has no place in the kingdom of God. Let me say it again. The flesh has no place in the kingdom of God. Paul had another revelation. He knew every day he got up, he had to deal with the flesh. That's why he said every day, every day, every day, every day, I crucify the flesh. Every day I get up, I put my flesh down. I push it down to the ground where it belongs.
belongs. Why, Paul? Because I want to be used of God. I want to be effective in the kingdom of God. That's why Pastor calls us on fastings often, because I know that we are in the last days, and I know that we live in an area of the world, an area of the country, that many demonic powers reside in South Florida. You know that 90% of every wealthy person in the world owns a home in Palm Beach County. Did you know that? No, you didn't. I can tell by your reaction. I'm talking about the billionaires and the multi-millionaires. This area is a place that is completely overwhelmed with finance and money. And let me tell you, where the power of money is, there is evil and there is corruption. They go together. They reside together. And we live in an area where there is a very heavy layer of demonic power that resides. But I'm glad to tell you what every devil in hell and every devil in the prince of the air, we still had 30 baptized and 27 get the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because the devil's no match for somebody that will submit their flesh and give their self to God. Fasting isn't just something we do so that we can feel hungry and so that we can walk around and say to ourselves, feel good about ourselves because we sacrificed a little. By looking at most of us, we're not sacrificing near as much as we need to. That's what not fasting's about. There is power in fasting. And if we can learn to do it God's way, we'll see greater results. I believe the Lord will honor about anything that we'll do. You know, most of the stuff we do in ignorance. We think we know what we're doing, but we really don't. And we just do the best we can with a little bit of understanding that we have. And so God's a really nice God. And so he looks down on us and our ignorance, and he honors and he blesses the little that we're doing with our little understanding. But I'm here to tell you, there's revelation in the Word of God. And when we get in the Word of God and we learn how to do things God's way, then we are going to begin to see greater results. Because now we're going to be walking in the will of God. And the kingdom of God is going to be our objective. The promoting and the blessing of the kingdom of God is going to be our hope and our desire. And because of that, the move of God is going to be greater and greater and greater. And our revelation is going to grow. And we're not just going to go without food. My God, have mercy. But we're going to learn to step into a realm of revelation and power. That the devil's not going to know how to handle it. All of hell is going to tremble. Blinded eyes are going to open. Cripples going to walk. Miracles are going to happen. Demons are going to be cast out. Oh yes, drug addicts are going to be delivered. Alcoholics are going to be set free. Immorality spirits are going to be cast off. Marriage is going to be put together. Children are going to be taken out of prisons and set up as moral standards. How's it going to happen, Pastor? By a church that learns how to fast and how to pray in the will of God. Now, the rule in the Word of God has always been that the elder would be the one with the birthright. It was so from the beginning. The law, and I hope you can follow me on this because I'm barely following myself. But the Holy Ghost is talking. I'm trying to follow him is what I'm trying to do. He's giving me revelation I've never seen before in all of my life, and I'm about to share it with you right now. I just saw it in the Holy Ghost. The law of God was written from the beginning of time. In its perfect morality, in its perfection, it was designed for barriers of a man and a woman that he created that knew no sin. But when man fell, it changed a lot of things. Now, the law stayed the same. However, when you look into the Word of God, you begin to find exceptions and you scratch your head and you try to figure it out. Because the law says the elder shall rule and everyone else shall serve him. But you will find in every case of the bloodline of Jesus Christ, in the lives of our patriarchs, that it was always the second born who ended up with the blessing and with the power and with the birthright. So I'm saying, God, what is going on here? Watch. The older shall serve the younger. Genesis 25, 21 through 23. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. The Lord was entreated of him. Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together and within her and said, if it be so, why am I thus? And the Lord said, and by the way, with Isaac, the firstborn was Ishmael, but Isaac was the second, but he was the promised child. Now stay with me because I'm jumping a generation. So here's Becky. She's got a couple of bambinos in a womb. And so the Spirit speaks and says, you've got two nations. She comes to God and she says, what's the struggle in my womb? And God says to her, you have two nations in your womb. Two manner of people separate from the bowels. One people shall be stronger than the other. And the elder shall serve the younger. And we read this and we understand that first came Esau. Jacob had his hand upon his heel. We know the story about all of this. How that Esau represented the flesh. Jacob represented the hunger after the spirit. This exception has carried through every generation, and it has now made its way into the New Testament, into the new birth. What are you saying, Pastor? Jesus said, you must be born again. Because the first birth, the elder, cannot have rule any longer. He lost that authority at the fall of Adam and Eve. Now it's the second birth. It's the younger who's going to have power over the elder. My God, have mercy. That's powerful. Woo! But here's what we got to understand. How is that accomplished? It's accomplished through fasting. You see, after we're filled with the Holy Ghost, if we'll all be honest with one another, we all would like to say here today, I wish that every day I live for God, that the Holy Ghost had complete rule and control of my life. But I'm here to tell you, as the top dog, I'm just kidding, as pastor, there are way too many days that the old man rules. And every time the old man rules, everything gets messed up. Everything falls apart. In the beginning, Adam, that's the way it was. But you fell. You lost your power. You lost your authority. Now the younger will rule the elder. The second birth will rule the first birth. The spirit will rule the flesh. That's where we need to get. And it's going to come through fasting. And it's going to come through prayer. That the Spirit of God on the inside of us rules over this flesh. Hallelujah. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord. See, I don't want to end up like these disciples. I brought my child to your disciples, and they could not cast him out. Now, prior to that, like I said earlier, they were going in pairs of just two. Jesus sent them out in pairs of two. He said, whatever city you walk into, open the blinded eyes, unstop the deaf ears, cause the lame to walk, cast out devils, go into a home if they receive you, let the peace be upon them. If they refuse you, wipe the dust off your feet and continue. Spread my gospel, spread my name, spread the kingdom of God. Now, we got all 12 of the dudes together. And they're only 30 feet from Jesus. And they bring a child. The Bible calls it a lunatic. I know you call your kids lunatic, but this is a real lunatic. Cast himself into the fire. Cast himself into the water. No doubt he would cut himself, bruise himself. And so the parent comes to the Lord and casts himself down at his feet. He didn't want to bother Jesus. He first went to his disciples. But he could get no help there. Jesus turns to the people and he says, "Oh, you faithless generation." Now remember, the Bible says even Jesus did few miracles in some cities because there was so little faith in the city. So I'm not saying it's not a battle. It's a battle. In fact, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. It is such a battle that we can no longer afford to try to do it with our intellect. We can no longer afford to try to do it with our personalities or with a little persuasion or some fancy program. Tabernacle of Pentecost, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches. We live in a generation that we need the Holy Ghost to dwell in our midst with such power and such liberty. And the only way that's going to happen is if we fill this place with believers who cast off doubt, cast off fear, cast off unbelief, and begin believing. Cast off the flesh through fasting and prayer. Then will God be able to loose himself in complete liberty amongst us. And no devil, no government, no flesh, no man, no woman, nobody will stand before this God. Hallelujah. brought him to the disciples. Couldn't do anything. Jesus said, you're a perverse generation. You're a faithless generation. His disciples got a little concerned. They made their way to the Lord. And they said, Lord, we don't understand. We were out there casting devils out. It was no problem. Now here we are all together. Every one of us laid hands on him. We all took turns. All 11 of us laid hands on him. Nothing happened. We knew the devil was going to run when Peter got there. Everybody was scared of Peter. But Simon Peter walked up. He laid hands on the boy and nothing happened. He remained in his condition. Just a crazy, crazy boy. Why is it, Lord, that you spoke and he went? We could not cast him out. And I find it to be pretty amazing here that the Lord looks at his disciples and says it's because of unbelief. Because they were already casting out devils and they were already healing the sick and they were already doing great and mighty miracles. But the Lord said, no, it's your unbelief that caused this. It's the reason why you couldn't. He preached to them for a little while, but then he gave them a revelation. He said, but I want you to understand something. This kind doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. Folks, listen. I can't really define to you exactly what it means. But I can tell you this. Jesus put a special anointing on fasting. He separated fasting from normal everyday praying. He separated fasting from our normal everyday walk with God. He separated from our daily Bible reading, our daily hour of prayer, our daily consecration to the Lord. And he put a special anointing or a special attention upon fasting. And basically he was telling the disciples, just like he's telling you and I today, that there is a level in the spirit world that everyday church isn't going to cut it. He's letting us know, just like many apostolic churches across the country are living in this realm. They show up Sunday after Sunday. They have church. Every once in a while, one or two will pray through. A baptism will happen. Once every 2 or 3 months, a move of God will sweep through for some reason. And it's just church. It's just routine. Stay with Pastor. Not here to hurt our feelings. I'm here to help us. It's just everyday church. We get up, we get dressed, we go to the house of God, we pay our tithes, we do our duty, we go to work, we're back on Wednesday night. Those of us that are saved, the rest of us come on Sunday. Edit that part off the tape if you don't mind. And if we're not careful, church can become just a part of our life. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Can I tell every one of us here tonight, God never intended for church simply to become a part of your life. Listen to the preacher. God expects church to be as exciting and as powerful every time we come together as it was the day you got the Holy Ghost. God expects us to receive new revelation, new power, new strength in the Holy Ghost. Every time we come together, He expects there to be miracles and deliverances and the power of God moving amongst us and flowing through us and Him demonstrating His glory and His love to a lost humanity. Every time we come together, church ought to be exciting. Church ought to be brand new. Church ought to be fresh. Church ought to be something that exhilarates us and excites us when we come to the house of God. And I tell you how it's going to happen. We got to fast. We got to fast. We got to fast. We got to fast. We got to drive our flesh down and get a hold of the Spirit and let the younger rule the elder in your life. Let's worship the Lord just for a moment. Fasting. Everybody say fasting. Fasting adds a dimension to prayer and to your walk with God that nothing else will ever do. Now, one of the blessed but cursed aspects of fasting is that seldom do you ever see the results while you are fasting. In fact, most of the time, things will get worse. Because you're stirring every devil up. Because the devil knows the power of fasting. You say, how does he know that? Because he watched Jesus walk into the wilderness, the Bible says, led of the Spirit. But 40 days later, after fasting and praying, he walked out of the wilderness, the Bible says, in the power of the Spirit. Woo! He watched Daniel fall on his face and begin to pray. And an angel came out of heaven with an answer. And the prince of the air met him and fought him. But Daniel wouldn't get up. And every day Daniel fast, the stronger the angel got. Till finally day 21, the devil experienced the power of fasting. And the answer breaks through. Daniel, I heard you the first day, but it took 21 days of fasting because these kinds only come out through prayer and fasting. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, yeah. The devil knows what fasting can do. He watched it transform an entire nation. When Daniel said, no, we'll just eat bread and water. Let them eat the king's meat. And when it's all said and done, compare us to the others. He watched fasting bring Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up out of the crowd of the ordinary. He watched fasting bring Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up out of the common. Prior to fasting, they looked like everybody else. They just blended with the crowd. But days of fasting, days of seeking God, the king says, I want these four to be my four top leaders in my kingdom. There's something special about them. Hey, you want to be brought up out of the ordinary.
You want to be brought up out of the common. Learn how to fast. Learn how to pray. It'll lift you up in the presence of God.
Don't you understand what holiness is? Or what holy is? Holy is when you're no longer common. But you've been separated. You've been lifted up. Set apart. Why were the utensils of the tabernacle holy? Because they were not allowed to be used by the common. They were separated unto God. It's what made them holy. You want to get holy? You know, pastor believes in dressing right and all of that. But my Bible tells me you can dress right and be full of dead man's bones. You can have it all together on the outside and be a demon on the inside. The Bible makes it very clear. If you'll wash the inside of the cup, the outside will be clean too. The thing to do is work on the inside. And the inside will work on the outside. It's what makes things holy. Not when we get it right out here, but when we get it right in here. And there's only one way to get it right in here. We got to get this thing under control. We got to get this stuff we call flesh. Pinch your neighbor. Pinch him. It's called flesh. Flesh loves things. Oh, yeah. The flesh loves to eat. I know, I love to eat chocolate ice cream, sister. I used to be able to eat chocolate ice cream. I could go to bed at night and have a big bowl of chocolate ice cream and then a bowl of cornflakes. And I could eat them both and never gain a pound. And it never bothered me. I got old. My flesh, the neurons used to fire like rockets. The old metabolism rate raced. Nothing could put a fat cell on me. I was fatless. And then one day, Brother Stewart, I got old. I just woke up old one day. It happened overnight. 29 years old. 129 in a day. Whoa. What happened? The old flesh slowed down. Listen to me. Flesh is going to die. Wise investors. You ready? Wise investors. Millionaires. Billionaires. Never invest in anything that depreciates. They only invest on things that with time appreciate. So somebody tell me, why are we investing in the old flesh when every day all it does is get older and a little tighter? It fails you over and over and over. But God has never let you down. God has never failed us. And listen, the longer I live for God, the sweeter my experience in the Holy Ghost is. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get tired. I still come in the presence of God. And when I lift up my hands, I feel His glory. I feel His power. Why? It gets sweeter every day as the day goes by. God gets better and better and better.
We need to stop investing in the flesh and start investing in the Holy Ghost. It's going to take us out of here.
Bible says the day is going to come, the old body is going to be laid in the ground. But that same word says if the same spirit that dwelled in Christ dwells in you, just like it quickened his body, on that great day, it's going to quicken our body too. Let's stand. Let me bring this part of the message to a close. Everybody say, the younger will rule the older. It's now the second birth that has power over the first birth. If you want things to go right. Whew. We invest so much in this flesh. How many's ever waxed their car? That's all? Okay, I'm going to ask the question one more time. How many's ever waxed their car? That's a little better. How many of y'all got? How many of y'all don't have a car? Okay. You ever wax your bike? Okay. Now, maybe I'm the only one that's ever thought this, but how many of you, of course, you would have to have the Holy Ghost to think this, I guess, but how many of you, while waxing your car, the Spirit said, if you would wax your soul like you wax this car, it shine too. Huh? Has the Holy Ghost ever said that to any of y'all? Seriously, I'm the only one? One more? Somebody help preacher out. Y'all need to pray through. Because I'm telling you right now, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, why you putting all that elbow grease into that car? I know what it is. Y'all all so wealthy, y'all hire somebody else to wax your car. Well, this old boy waxed his own car. Putting sweat coming down. Spit on it and make it shine good. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost says, man, I wish you'd work for me. Like you're going to work for that car. Because Dan, you know yourself. In 4 years, you're going to sell that thing. It's going to break down and start costing you money. And you're going to have to invest all kinds of money into it. He said, I'll never break down. I'll never cost you anything. I'll just load you up with benefits. I guess I'm the only one, brother. Holy Ghost talks to that way. I don't know. It's called guilt. It's a good kind of guilt, though, because I put that wax sponge down. I'll go find myself a corner somewheres. And you might find this funny, but I'll take my hand. I'm left-handed, so I'll take my left hand. And I'll go, Jesus. Oh, yeah. I'm going to shine you up, Lord. But if you don't mind, I got to finish the car. It's only half done, but I'm going to shine you up. That's what fasting's all about. It's about getting a hold of this flesh and bringing it down so that the Spirit can reign in your life. It's not easy while we do it. But oh, the transformation. And I know we've only done a few. We did three in the beginning, and now we're just doing, everybody knows that, right? Tuesdays and Thursdays, right? Everybody knows that. No food, just water, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And somebody else says, well, don't tell nobody. It won't be any effect. Go read the Bible. That is not what God's talking about. So get over that. Get over that. It's crazy. We're a church. We're together.
we're coming together. We're pulling in together. This is between us. We're making a commitment together before the Lord. Now, if we walk out of here with our nose up in the air and smear our face and walk around, how long you been without food? 2 hours. Yeah. Yeah. An amen from the wife corner there. How many of y'all know that? How many of you know on a day you're not fasting, you can get up, go all day, and it's 6 o'clock at night and you realize you hadn't ate a single thing. And it never bothered you. But the day you're fasting, you get out of bed starving. I think that's because the Lord knows we're only fasting one day. So he says, I'm going to make you feel like you're fasting 10. Enrich the experience a little bit. All right, so Tuesdays and Thursdays for the rest of this month. Oh, one more thing. We're going to have prayer in the multi-purpose room tomorrow night. At what time we normally have prayer? 6 or 7? At 7 o'clock. We are still working on dividing everything up, but we've been too many weeks without coming together. We finally got the air in the multi-purpose room, so it's nice and cool, and it's cleared out. It can easily hold about 60 people. So we hope that you'll try to. How many do not know where the new office is? You do not know where the new office is. Okay, so y'all pray at home. The rest of y'all come out to the, I'm kidding. Just go down 441, pass up the old property, and go to Belvedere. Just go to Belvedere. Take a right, which is going east on Belvedere. Shoot all the way to Sansbury. Right before you get to Sansbury, take a right. It goes into some nice warehouses. We remodeled a couple of those, and it's unit 101. So right when you pull in, it's the first unit on your right. So you'll pull in, come around to the right. It's the first unit right there on the right. You'll come through the front door, make your way through the back. It'll be there, okay? Did we put that in the bulletin? We didn't put that in the bulletin. I meant to do that, okay? All right, how many of y'all understood those directions? I can improve on them. Go down 441 right after you pass Walmart. Huh? That's Belvedere. Okay, thank you, baby. She's right. We're still going to have prayer, though. Touch the future tomorrow night. So I'm going to be at a conference. Please come anyway. Okay, right after Walmart. That's Belvedere, right, sweetie? Take a right, continue down past Walmart to Sansbury. Is there a nice store around Sansbury? Anywhere's close? No? Okay, sorry. I can't give you any more good instructions. Just go to get to Sansbury, take a right. Before you get to Sansbury, you're going to take a right into those. Okay, they'll be there. You'll find them. If you don't know, call the office. Don't want to be there. Don't do that. I'm sorry? All right, you'll see our vans. We'll park them out by the road. Big white van says Tabernacle of Pentecost, so that'll give you a good thing. Lord, thank you for your word. God, you're awesome. You're incredible. You bless us. Father, I help us. Help us in our flesh. Help us to bring this flesh under control. God, that's our hunger. It's our desire. Everyone in this building tonight wants to draw closer to you. We want to know you. We want to be used of you. It's why we're here. We've come to hear the word and to be changed and transformed. So put this message in our heart. Teach us how to fast. Put revelation in our spirit. We pray it. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. God bless you. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. Hug one another. Shake hands to one another. Greet one another. Tell them how skinny they look. And have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Love you.